No way, Jose. Than just a
good... The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jets is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Hey guys, it's Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. You can find us on YouTube, all major audio podcatchers, and Rumble as well. Today, my guests are Ken Silva and Clint Russell. We're going to be kind of riffing off of a video that dropped, I believe it was today, went viral. Some sort of, you know, alleged or claimed Fed of some sort, some flavor, who said a lot of, pretty damning stuff. But for those who have been paying attention for a while, know a lot of these, a lot of things he said aren't really that surprising. It's just kind of crazy to hear them say the quiet part out loud. They said it. They definitely said it. And whether he's legit or not, there are multiple examples, and we're going to probably point to a lot of those throughout today. I do want to remind you guys how this works. For my normal No Way Jose episodes, as opposed to my Already Dead, which is a live stream, these usually, you know, get held behind the paywall for roughly about a week. If you want to get those early, it's patreon.com. No Way Jose 2020, lowest level, $2 to get that early access. The highest level of my sponsors, I read them off every episode. I have my co-host on Tower Gang, at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's. Then Kevin B. Clark, a full-time guitarist and private music teacher in the New York area. Then at Zoveerack. Then at underscore infinite zeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast, at Biblical Anarchy. Then at Jolly on Klebold, makes a lot of edits for me, dope dude. Then at Stinky Sock 420, singer of the band Bender, which is a metalcore band. Definitely go check that out. Appreciate you guys for helping me do what I do. Let's get our guests in here and get to it. Hey, Ken. Hey, Clint. What's up, fellas?
Howdy.
Howdy. I guess before we get into it, any thoughts? I know you both have watched this. Ken, you wrote a piece on it. Just kind of introductory thoughts on this. As I said, I felt like this was a quiet part out loud. That's why I found this particularly interesting. And it works as a good springboard to kind of point out all of the things that are kind of fucked that he's talking about, whether he is legit or not.
Yeah, I guess my initial thoughts would just be to qualify that this guy, his identity's pretty unconfirmed. But when this organization that caught him on an undercover camera called Sound Investigations, I've also never heard of, but within hours of them publishing the video, you had like Elon Musk commenting on it, Alex Jones boosting it, and kind of, I guess, Con Inc. really blowing it up, which I find interesting. I'm not sure how that it took off so fast. That does, you know, raise some suspicions, but we can get into that later.
Yeah, I was scared of something being too good to be true. Clint, go ahead.
Yeah, apparently the organization that did the sting operation is a spinoff from what was O'Keefe's organization before he got fired?
Project Veritas.
Yeah. It's a spinoff. It's like some underlings that worked underneath him over at Veritas. So very similar tactics. Once again, entrapping a gay man into trying to get laid and saying a bunch of wild shit. So I take it with a grain of salt. I actually, after I posted about it, Kyle Serafin, former FBI agent, DM me. So yes, I am being manipulated by the feds actively. And he said, look, man, I'm as suspicious of everything that's going on as you are, but let me show you this guy's like LinkedIn and So I look through it and I see it. It's like, all right, this guy, he's only got 18 months of experience, give or take. He's basically a data input guy. Like, he doesn't seem to have any authority. He certainly wouldn't be read in on any massive ops. So I think he's full of shit. I think he's just trying to get blown. And I don't think that this story is really much of anything. And that's, believe me, I want it to be everything. I don't think it's anything.
I'm torn. I mean, because it, for me, I'm like, it could be legit. And if it is legit, I mean, whatever, I can point to a million examples to where that sounds legit. But at the same time, I do find it a little bit incredible that this fella, you know, that he's being completely honest. Maybe he's stretching some things. Maybe it's based in truth and parts here and there. But yeah, at the end of the day, I do think he had a cute little journalist that, you know, talked him up and probably, I don't know, made it seem like he would like it if he really embellished some stuff and he was really trying to catch some tail that night. But, you know, whatever. Either way, I think it makes a good springboard for discussion. But let's go ahead and get it up and then we'll get into it.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How? Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta get a quick little, just to see what happens. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
We did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away, chopped his legs off.
Gavin O'Blenis is a contracting officer at the CIA. O'Blenis worked for the FBI in 2021 and 2022 in the San Diego office, moved on to Homeland Security where he conducted asylum interviews at the southern border, and now works for the CIA managing multi-million dollar contracts across government agencies and private sector vendors.
I work for, I work like this without, I'm not supposed to tell people kind of job. If I say intelligence, what do you think?
CIA?
Yep.
Oh, you work for the CIA?
I do.
That's incredible.
I'm a contracting officer.
That's amazing.
So I deal a lot with, like, different agencies. We're contracting with, like, Director of National Intelligence to do stuff. We do Navy, Army, any of them, really. I just, FBI. I used to work for the FBI, so they threw the FBI at me. They're like, here, you used to work there. Oh, I'm permanent. So, yeah.
Good. Well,
did you say something, Clint, or was I hearing something else?
No, that was me. I was saying.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to say what I am, but like if I say I work for intelligence, what do you think? And he goes, CIA? And he goes, yeah, CIA. I work for the CIA. Exactly. I fucking work for the CIA. This dude is so anxious to blow his cover. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I wanted to finish this little introductory report because he kind of goes into that and gets a good spot to start. And then I know Ken has dug a little bit into his background, so then we can kind of maybe surmise on the legitimacy of it some more from there. But I believe it's almost there.
Why do they call it contracting?
Because I do the contracts for them. I do all the legal contracts. I fly out to vendors and evaluate them. I love the agency.
Good for you.
I like the Bureau, too. The Bureau was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of cool stuff with the Bureau. I was the guy in the back of the truck in the van.
O'Blenis spoke to an...
All right, there you go. Yes, all right. I think that's a good spot to stop. The back of the van comment was definitely a little sus too. But all right, Ken, you want to hop in here and maybe tell us a little bit about kind of like your digging into the verification of, you know, his credentials and what can we really even extrapolate from that? I mean, I briefly breezed over him. It looks like, yeah, there's definitely some truth there, but I know he also could just be some low-level spook that's trying to get blown, you know.
Yeah, well, one of the things I found is like a student newspaper. Let me see if I could pull it up from just 2 years ago where he's pictured kind of serving as a volunteer. He's got an orange vest on. I think he's like crowd control. So if this guy is like a deep cover CIA operative, I'd be shocked. I think I'd have to agree with Clint that he's almost surely full of shit. Other than that, I think the clip you just played covered it all. Like his LinkedIn says he's with DHS. I guess it's plausible that that's like some kind of cover story that he just, you know, like you mentioned, he just blew that within 5 seconds on his little date. So yeah, this is highly I'm highly dubious of this, but I guess the other thing I'd point out is that he either pretended not to know or he didn't know like Alex Jones's name, which is like another big red flag. If he's this high level operator trying to entrap right wing people, you'd think that would be a name that would easily, you know, he'd be able to pull off the top of his head.
Yeah, I do find it funny though. I like the concept that there are, like, he's part of some, you know, secret, super secret group of people, and then they're like, "God damn it, Gavin!" Right now, like that they all, like, he just fucked everything up for them, and he was that one schmuck. They always were kind of like, "Gavin's a liability," but whatever. He's got a, you know, he's basically got a pension now. We're keeping him around. Whatever. He's been here the whole time. He's been good. I don't know. We can't just nix him. But I do kind of lean towards it's probably bullshit, but I do think it'll make for a good conversation going forward. Any other thoughts between the two of you?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, I think my initial assessment is just kind of proven out by his behavior. He doesn't seem to actually, he doesn't have enough clearance from what I can tell to actually be read in or privy to any of this. I think that it's highly probable that there was 20 plus feds on the ground at J6. I think it's highly probable that the FBI was consulting the SH families on, you know, civil liability claims against Jones. And it's like, yeah, all of that seems very plausible, but I refuse to believe this dumpy homo actually knows anything.
Yeah, that's a kind of my intuition, but I don't know, what better cover could there be than when even us, the crazy conspiracy people, are like, no fucking way. They're playing 5D chess.
No, man, I think you're trying to 4D yourself at a 3D.
No, I agree with you guys. But as I said, I do think it's worth, you know, pointing out the credibility of it, and then we can have fun pointing out as it goes further kind of other similar examples.
I guess,
even though, but go ahead.
Yeah, if I could play a little bit of devil's advocate and maybe, yeah, try to argue that this guy's legit, and maybe I'm getting ahead of the video here, but when he talks about the undercover FBI agents in the January 6th crowd, he paints it as this was a crowd control measure. It's what any competent law enforcement agency does, and they should have had more. They should have had 100 or 1,000 undercovers in the crowd, is what he said. So that seems to be a reasonable statement for a security analyst to say, like, yeah, it's not trying to portray it as some kind of deep state scandal, but as just standard operating procedure.
Yeah, I definitely think there are probably, I'd say throughout this video, there probably are, you know, some substantial grains of truth. But the problem is, I don't think we'll ever really know, because this guy is extremely eager to hear, to say whatever this dude in front of him wants to hear, or what he thinks he wants to hear. So it is kind of hard to parse out what's real, what's not. But either way, let's keep it moving.
An undercover Sound Investigations reporter about his work experience involving near entrapment and his employer's involvement with political commentator Alex Jones's legal battles.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can... You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they don't.
Dude, I really want to believe this guy's legit. Just because he's like the George Santos of feds. It just would be so lovable if this guy comes to find out this is all legit. Like, he just spilled all the fucking company secrets. Because I believe this is part one of I don't know how many pieces. I don't know if they're out yet, if they're getting released later. But So much of me wants this to be legit, just because he's such a hilarious character to be what topples it.
To the line.
I will say, a lot of these spook guys are very weird people.
Yes.
When the OSS, they set up their first office in China during the World War II era, and one of their first OSS/CIA officers was known for passing out a business card identifying himself as CIA. I don't know if you guys watched that Archer cartoon, like trying to get laid by using his CIA credentials. So there is like a decades old history of stuff like this happening.
Yeah, I mean, that brings to mind, I don't know if either of you ever dug into the character of David Ferry, who is like a deep lore, like JFK stuff. He pretty much was some spook of some flavor at this point. It's hard not to believe he was. And like, he was such a bizarre character. He had like, I think, painted on eyebrows and like the most fake toupee ever. And like there was one point where I think the cops had him under surveillance, and they literally reported that he would just like go back for hours, just go back and forth in his room, like in his house, naked, just chain smoking. And that's like all he was doing. Like just bizarre characters. And he ran this whole cadre of like a civil air patrol with young boys. And he was just a weird character. It's very heavily implied there may have been untoward things happening there. But yeah, he had connections to like Harvey Lee Oswald and Barry Seal and some other weird characters supposedly in his civil air patrol unit, which is like deep parapolitics lore. But there is and he shows up in a lot of deep spook stuff, and he totally would probably be a character like this. There are so many, when you dig into parapolitics, there's so many fucking weird characters. So it is kind of like, could be legit. And this is just what we're seeing in modern day now that we have people doing shit like this. But I don't know. I guess we'll find out as more gets released, but I definitely am knee jerk. Like, this feels like bullshit, but there is credence for these weird motherfuckers being these people that do this shit. So I mean, who knows?
This is the major silver lining of the DEI ESG shit, is that like, they're just going to continue to hire more and more flaming gay dudes and trans people and a bunch of fucking weird perverts. And they're going to just continue to be more and more readily entrapped by sting operations by a bunch of undercover pretending to be gay reporters like James O'Keefe. And this is the world we live in now. I'm totally fully fucking clown pilled, and I cannot even like wrap my head around how fucked up our world is, that this is how our investigations happen. It's just consistently gay dudes being talked to by undercover reporters who may or may not be gay, trying to get them to say some wild shit about what the CIA is doing that's totally illegal and unconstitutional and immoral. It's like, this is the world we live in. It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I would, the funny thing is though, we kept talking about how quick he is to blow his cover. But we have no idea how many times this guy has been blown before this. So this could be deep cover. We don't know. But that is the humorous aspect of these type of stories. How far do you go to get the story? But, Godspeed. do what you got to do, I guess. I won't be doing that. But you guys do what you got to do. All right, let's keep it moving.
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just got to get in a little.
I love that
part. See what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers, that we know is going to trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off. Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing.
Yep. All right. Now, that I think would be good to work off of for a second. Now, he's getting the point that he's alluding to, that sometimes they will antagonize large civil events and maybe antagonize them to go even further. Obviously, he's watching in how he says it, and he's thinking he's being tricky, but saying it basically out loud, he does be like, oh, it's just a nudge or whatever. But like, let's be real, we're not children here. We know the silly semantics games he's playing and what he's alluding to. I guess any thoughts between the two of you? There's been, I know, many demonstrations or riots or whatever that have been manipulated to their ends. Between the two of you, I know Ken, you wrote extensively on like J6 stuff and other things. I know there was the Wolverine Watchmen thing, where they had the rally too in Michigan, that it seemed like could have been the staging grounds for the methodology they may use later. Between the two of you, go for it.
I guess when he's talking about nudging, one thing that I've noticed covering these type of cases is that the target's almost on the autism spectrum. And the reason that's significant is because when you're talking about these social situations, it's my understanding of an autism, if you're in a group and you're an autistic person and the whole group's doing something, the autistic person will try to copy what's going on in the group to fit in. And I think that makes them prime targets for entrapment, because if you get into a situation where you're in a chat group or a public protest and there's a bunch of feds doing sketchy stuff, I think the autism people tend to mimic that because they think it's socially acceptable. They're just trying to fit in. And then next thing you know, they've got handcuffs on and they're facing 20 to life in prison. And it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, we could totally push Toad to domestic terrorism if we wanted to. it would be the easiest thing in the world. We would just have to start all, you know, being on board to push him that way. And it'd be within a week, I think we probably could. We're not going to.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the whole point of Tower Gang.
Yes, pretty much. Driving Toad to domestic violence. We have plausible deniability. So we have to be very careful like he does in how we word things. We don't ever actually tell him to do it. We just, you know, we throw the idea out there. You know?
Yeah, you just go, or whatever that guy did. You just got to nudge him.
Yeah.
All right. His little fucking sound effects and shit. This guy is just such a fucking reprehensible human being. Just bragging about it and trapping people and, like, triggering the mentally ill and doing crazy shit. It's just, yeah, like, of course, like, as I said to start this all off, I want this guy to be super high up and just, like, so thirsty to get his dick sucked that he's like, I'm going to just spill all of our secrets. But it feeds perfectly into all three of ours, you know, preferred worldview that these people are all psychopaths and scumbags and they entrap everybody. It's like, yeah, I think that's actually what they do, but I just don't believe anything. He's got 2 years of experience. You think he's actually read in on J6 shit? You think he's actually read in on any plans when it comes to Alex Jones? I just think there's zero chance. Like, honestly, I don't think there's any chance that this guy's read in after that short of a stint with them.
Yeah. I only quickly glanced at the, at his LinkedIn or whatever. I know there's only 2 years with the explicit feds, but I think he has a time in the DHS. So I don't know how much it adds up. Obviously, if you're talking any deep parapolitics nerd, they're going to be like, well, he could have been sheep dipped. Now, do I think this guy got sheep dipped? No. But I'm just saying that is a thing that's out there. I don't think he got sheep dipped. But I don't know exactly, you know, when you're looking at their public-facing profile, when you're dealing with spooks, especially high-level spooks, I do think there may be some trickery, which I don't know. I guess maybe this would be a good time to quickly talk on Ken. I think you wrote a piece on it, the Kanakoa stuff. We could briefly, because I found that particularly interesting. I think I'll probably do an episode at some point on the Kanakoa stuff, but that it looks like there was some other, you know, militia group infiltrated by. Okay, who knows? Maybe it was just some crazy random citizen, but I think it's fair to say it glows incredibly bright.
Well, that's kind of one of the reasons that I kind of consider this Gavin O'Blenis guy, you know, possibly, you know, he possibly might know something, because this Virginia militia in recent months had a self-purported CIA agent join and started in the group chats, started spreading documents about how to make bombs, and the documents look pretty official. I think one of the militia men said that they look exactly the same as the documents that Jack Teixeira leaked on Discord, the so-called Discord leaks. So wild things happen. And yeah, this guy was telling everybody he was in the CIA and spreading info. So,
and he was putting it in a way where it's like, I can be your inside man kind of deal.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. But so that I was interested in that because that was kind of an appeal to the militias in the 80s before they got woke to this entrapment stuff, is they liked having CIA operatives in their militias because they thought that the CIA was on their side to fight Russia, to fight communism. Like, these were kind of, it was a different right wing back in the day.
It's your boomer fuds is what they are.
Yeah.
You know, now today. But go ahead.
But like 40 or 50 years later, I don't understand how the militia thought that having a CIA operative in their group was a good idea. But sorry, what was your specific question to that story?
I was just more getting at, you know, the weird characters, because I know there's been digging into his background with his claims and a lot of, you know, same thing with the Kanakoa guy. It does seem, some of it does seem to kind of match. You know, I think it even, I know Radix Verum's done a good deep dive on this on her show for those who watch her, but I believe even his dad, this guy's the guy in Kanakoa, they looked him up. His dad was even what's his name? Something Vane the Fourth, but his dad had a lot of stuff that glue like the sun too, if you look into his background. Very weird. But I don't, and wait, then he also ended up later fake. Huh? No, not Kanakoa. No, that the militia is the name of the, is, oh. There was like a, Kanako or Kana, something like that. It's a similar word. Maybe I'm fucking it up.
I think it's the Kakoas.
Kakoa. I just heard that and I went to Kanakoa because I associated with Kanakoa the Great.
I'm like,
but
fuck, dude, I subscribed to Kanakoa the Great on X.
To be clear, he's not a Fed. Kanakoa the Great's not a Fed. I'm just saying.
I was like, am I paying a Fed for information? Damn it.
But no, I was getting at the some of the weird stuff, especially later with his he faked his death, as it seems like, because there was stuff that showed that he was still alive. He faked his death. But I know if he is a Fed, which that guy kind of looks like he is, his whole story really does pick away at, like, maybe they aren't really that good at what they do. Like, because he did a very sloppy job of covering up that he even existed. He was operating under his real name, is what it seems like. Very, very bizarre behavior. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Ken. I know you dug into it a little bit. I don't know how deep you've dug into it. But yeah, that I would suggest people go down that rabbit hole and go check out Radix's, because that's still kind of ongoing stuff where they're digging into his background. But very weird, that fellow.
And that looks legit, 100% legit to me. His dad is confirmed DHS. There's like documents on DHS website with the dad's name. He's got his resume out there. And yeah, the kid was doing some really glowy stuff. Like I said, spreading bomb making manuals, not good. And I'll be interested to see where that goes, because it looked like the feds had some kind of entrapment operation akin to the Whitmer plot that they had in the works. This is an election year, so they might have been ready to spring it, and then it just fell apart. I guess that's just the sad commentary on the decline of the country. We don't even have the state capacity to do effective entrapment ops anymore.
Well, they don't need it. I mean, they have full cover, will be ran from them, from the the media apparatus, and then the judicial system turns a blind eye. Even when you entrap people, the judges will just throw out total exculpatory evidence that you were entrapped. Like, so they become exceedingly sloppy, because they realize, well, who gives a fuck about OPSEC? Like, we're gonna get away with it. They fucking spied on the sitting president, or before he was even the president of the United States, and no one paid a price. Like, one dude got fired. They don't have to fucking be careful. They don't.
That's a really good point. That was a journalist who wrote the book that inspired the TV show The Wire, and he wrote a lot about how in Baltimore, when they let the cops just run up on kids and like shake them upside down and get the weed out of them without actually doing proper investigative techniques, the Baltimore police became super sloppy because they were allowed to do that. So yeah, on a larger scale, what you said makes total sense, Clint.
Yep. I wish it weren't the case, but it just seems quite evident that they are deteriorating before our very eyes. But I think this is just a small microcosm of a broader, establishment rot that, like, every three-letter agency, every institution from academia all the way up to the highest levels of the government, we're seeing the exact same thing. And this is really what happens under decaying communist countries. Like, this is, like, when they, Chernobyl, Chernobyl didn't have to be as bad as it was, but everyone under the USSR was like, well, we don't tell the truth, because we lose everything if we tell the truth, and we have to save face at all costs. We never run any bad news up the flagpole, because if you report it, you're going to be accused of being culpable, even if it wasn't your doing. So it just, like, everyone starts to shut the fuck up. Everyone starts to do a bad job, and slowly your entire civilization melts down. And it's bizarre to be saying that about the country I live in and love, but I really think that's where we're at.
Yeah, we're full clown world, I think. By the way, someone did point out your audio is a little bit low. I thought that we were hot. I thought it sounded fine earlier, but someone in the chat says yours is a little low, Clint. So, but all right, let's keep this moving.
Wait, mine's low?
Fuck. Yeah, they said yours is low. So, I mean, if you want to bring up a touch while I play this next little bit, I mean,
right.
I thought it came off low earlier, but then you guys said it sounded fine. So, and I was like, well, I guess I'm wrong. All right, let's do it.
Like a, oh, so when a rally happens, then sometimes the bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes.
Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to, like, really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's me.
It's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be, like, a big influencer that you're after? You're, like, a, I don't know, like, I don't even know these names, like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like...
Oh, I'm sure he's a... Right.
you always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we're after him.
You are? Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty.
He's broke.
And had to pay like $100 million.
Yeah. All right. Any more thoughts at this point? He kind of did cover a lot. I do want to say we're not going to go into old Schmandy Schmuck because I want to. This is going up on YouTube. But if you are interested, I did a whole series on Rumble with one of my patrons. So yeah, if you do want to dig into that, I do think there is more to the story than meets the eye. But I also not saying I'm full blown what people think Alex Jones thought. So I'm just saying, throwing that out there. I always thought it was a little silly they got upset with him for. That's what they went after him for. I know Clint feels very strongly about that as well. You've had many rants on that. And I guess just kind of the idea of how they target the loudest. I do think they also do target some of the quiet people, but I think those are the people that might meet more more dastardly ends as opposed to a public clown show like they do with someone like Alex Jones.
Well, we already know factually that, I mean, assuming Tucker Carlson's telling the truth, which I have no reason to doubt him, that his I don't know if it was Telegram or what app he was using, but he was being spied on. He was trying to schedule a sit down with Edward Snowden when he was in Russia about a couple months ago. And it was leaked to reporters, to journalists. And he's like, that was just communicated between me and Mr. Snowden. So the intelligence agencies undoubtedly are following, watching, spying on Tucker Carlson, as far as I'm concerned. I think it would be absolutely absurd to think that they weren't also doing something similar with Alex Jones, given his rabid following and his lunatic fan base. Like, if I was the FBI, I'd be like, yeah, I'm definitely going to be keeping track of some of his most zealous supporters, because they're, you know, they're like the 1776 type of folks. And it's like, yeah, that's the people that they're afraid of. So, I don't think that anything that he's saying is like laughably untrue. I just think that he's laughable, and his delivery makes me absolutely violent.
I'm the opposite way. It makes me laugh. But yes, I don't know. There's a George Santos effect. I mean, I know it's like he's describing especially if he played the part that he's, you know, trying to portray that he did. It is just evil shit, and so he's a piece of crap. But my God, is it not hilarious the way he's presenting this information? Ken, any ideas or any thoughts? I mean, before we can move on?
Just that what he described is exactly what happened. I mean, the FBI did target Alex Jones's most strident followers. We saw it on January 6th. I mean, that was an event that was largely promoted through the whole InfoWars network, the whole Stop the Steal rally. That was basically an Alex Jones production. I think Nick Fuentes and those Ali, a couple other guys were there. But I mean, he described exactly what happened three plus years ago.
All right, let's keep moving. Oh shit! Fuck! Damn it! All right, there we go.
Yeah, we call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge.
You gotta fast forward.
Something that triggers, that we know is gonna trigger them, right?
Is that sometimes that the bureau behind
fake news,
like a gum,
like that? What was his name?
There we go.
He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA?
Sure was.
That was an agency thing?
Well, actually it was a defamation case. So it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that the latest, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the bureau, for instance. Yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we go find?
And did you find anything?
I can't tell you. Oh, we did.
Pause it.
But, so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones...
All right, so thoughts on that. Obviously, what he's getting at is that he's heavily implying, I think, that they're feeding stuff to civil people. I mean, he does later, I think, kind of caveat in the way that they present it. But I would say with something like an Alex Jones, he's probably implying that he's saying that, oh, we kind of fed them information, also use it as an opportunity to do further digging into them. Any thoughts at this point on any of that between the two of you?
Yeah, the most interesting aspect I actually didn't catch on my first watch, but what he says is, well, this is a civil matter, so this certainly wasn't the CIA. But what he implies without saying it is that the FBI used the discovery from the civil case to then do additional, you know, investigation into either Alex himself or his followers. So I thought that was, I mean, that's a really stunning revelation if it's true, which I, as I've already said, I doubt. But if it is true, I wouldn't at all be surprised that they would use discovery in a civil trial to then build a case against his followers. That's pretty wild. Yeah. Allegations.
That's a good catch. I didn't even think of that. Ken, do you have any thoughts on that? Does that ring any bells of any cases you've looked into before where they use maybe go through improper means to obtain information through other avenues or something along those lines? I'm sure I've run into that once or twice in some of my digs. It sounds familiar and it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, that sounds that's a tactic they do. I think in the Waco litigation, there was a lot of like spying on the civil trial and stealing information and spreading disinformation to try to sabotage the case. I wish I had more details up at the top of my head, but that's definitely it is a tactic. Whether or not this Gavin guy's, you know, speaking from firsthand knowledge or what, but it rings true.
All right. Sorry, audience, that I yelled at you with the explicative, whatever the fuck it is. But yeah, I accidentally rewinded it for those audio listeners. All right, let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. You were watching him long before anything ended up happening.
Probably. It wasn't my office, but I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Oh, pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, oh, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI.
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do. But civilly, we can go at them that way. And chop his legs off.
And they did.
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy.
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex?
Not encourage. Educate. I don't know if there's any thoughts there. I found it interesting how he parses words. That does seem like how a Fed would operate. And if they were in any way trying to hedge the things they say. Honestly, those are the kind of wordings you would hear in some sort of press conference on Fed stuff. I know, I think Ken was even kind of alluding to it earlier, the case with an individual, the 18-year-old that got, he was 17 at the time, he got targeted by the, you know, feds. I think they created like three people in a group chat at one point that were all feds, and then him essentially egging him on. He was some sad kid. They fucked. I forgot what the fuck my point was with that, with why they how they targeted him. Maybe you can think, Ken, I forgot what I was going to tie that into. But yeah.
I think he's suggesting that the FBI planted the seeds of these families to file a lawsuit, which that sounds retarded to me.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember the point I was getting at. The way they phrased it, I know there was a later, I can't remember who specifically in that case, but one of the forward-facing public, you know, service announcement type people, they, you know, kind of announced that this happened and were presenting it like it was a good thing. And like the way they're like, oh, cleaning these people off the streets. But lo and behold, if you actually dig into it, I mean, nothing they said in their, you know, their public announcement or whatever was technically wrong, but the way they framed it was, what most people don't realize is like, hey, there's a 17-year-old kid that completely got like, you know, ambushed into a friend zone by a bunch of feds and then talked into doing something that at some points it didn't even sound like he wanted to do, was just essentially wanted friends.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't surprise me. I watched a documentary on HBO about, I think it was called The Trial of Alex Jones. And it was all about this case. And, you know, I think that what I find most disturbing about that case is not even that you know, he lost and got hit with a $1 billion fine, but rather that it was essentially taken out of the jury's hands to find guilt or innocence. And they just made it so that, yeah, because you didn't provide us what we demanded in terms of disclosure, we're just going to convict you, classify you as guilty, and then have a jury trial just to decide on how much you owe these victims of your defamation. It's not dissimilar to what they did to Donald Trump with the E. Jean Carroll case. It's almost exactly the same thing, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think that this trend, more than anything, is what I'm most concerned about. And what mm-hmm. was really remarkable about it is that Alex Jones' attorneys were such fucking idiots that they turned over Alex's entire cell phone during the trial. And it's like, even with that, they still couldn't find anything that was really damning. Like, the only thing they found was, well, we had asked for you to say if you had ever mentioned anything about SH in your text messages. Well, when you turned over your entire phone on accident, we looked and there was some. But they don't actually present it. They don't tell you what he said. They don't tell you if it's actually valid to the claim or the case or anything like that. And it just seemed like such an obvious railroading. But to Ken's point about, you know, why would they be involved in encouraging this? You don't need to encourage people to try and sue a rich dude to get money. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, I think they would have done that anyways. I think if anything, what I would like to know is, if did they put their thumb on the scale when it came to who the judge would be to preside over it? Did they actually encourage them to railroad him in the fashion that he was railroaded? Like, those are the things that I would like to know. That would be much more damning to me than them just sitting down with the SH families and saying, hey, we think you have a strong case. Like, I think this guy's talking out of his ass. I really do.
Yeah. There is also, to add to that and how they railroad you, there is a past, for those who didn't know a lot of parapolitics lore, of, you know, lawyers becoming compromised that are like on the defense, you know, against the government, or being the lawyer being put there in the first place with someone who clearly was put there intentionally by those people. It's, you know, it's very common. You look in any, especially mass impact events, any sort of event like that, it's very common. You see in a lot of those trials that lawyers are compromised, or it's very clear, you know, decades after the fact, this person was working for the opposition. So not saying that's the case here. I'm not sure if they were able to somehow get to his lawyers, or if that was just a dumb move on their part. I'm not necessarily claiming either way. That would require, you know, actually digging into it. And that's usually the kind of information we don't find out until, like, probably damn near a decade later anyways.
Right. No one cares.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the term now. It's called summary judgment, where essentially you say, you demanded XYZ worth of information from the defendant and they didn't provide it, so you're just going to summary judgment them as guilty. And that's what happened with Jones. And I just think it's a total miscarriage of justice. Like, regardless of the fact that I think that what Alex did was wrong, I think that it was immoral, I think that he probably ought to be held liable to some extent, maybe $5 million across the entire you know, group of families. But to hit him with $1 billion is just like, oh, well, this isn't fucking America, obviously. This is insane.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's keep moving.
Jones now. Because he's still out there. He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
They're still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money.
I don't believe that for a moment, first off. This is,
no, they didn't stop watching him. Bullshit.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, if anything, that makes me like, you're full of shit. I mean, maybe it's just bravado and he is in the know, but I mean, like, oh, we don't even care about him anymore. But
yeah,
no.
It's like, we already ripped all of his fucking money away. Who cares? He could chirp. He could chirp with his little smug fucking face. I don't know how you watch this and you don't get mad. I know you're like, you're obviously way more clown pilled than me, because this dude makes my blood boil. He's like, he's like bragging about hitting this guy with a $1 billion fight. Like, he could chirp. We already bankrupted him. So, like, la 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 la. He's just such a scumbag.
But he's the kind of guy, though, that if he gets exposed here, he would, and he doesn't somehow get killed, he would be the one that would be George Santosing it. Be like, let me tell you about all these bitches back here.
Right.
But all right, let's keep going.
Anyway, we shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up for anybody.
How? Well, unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison. Being ignorant is not a crime, though it should.
It is. I mean, what? You could bring a nudge.
He did inside a riot, like Cheeto. He didn't encourage people to go shoot people. He didn't. So he didn't do anything.
Additionally, O'Blenis states that
Trump didn't either.
Yeah, no. All right, any thoughts there? We're almost nearing the end, but yeah, any more thoughts on any of the stuff he dropped just there?
I mean, just that Trump didn't incite a riot. What did Trump do that was illegal? Like, as far as I could tell, really nothing. So it's just bizarre. Like his assessment of this on both sides, on both the Jones side and the Trump side, and referring to him as Cheeto, it's like, man, this guy is just fucking through and through a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, rewatching this video with you guys really hammers the point home about how full of it he seems to be, which raises the question of, like, why did Elon Musk comment and amplify this? Like, that to me suggests that this is some kind of op, like, maybe not by the CIA itself. Maybe it's like an opposition party op to try to get some information out there to muddy up the waters. I don't know, but it's very strange that Elon Musk would boost this dubious story.
Well, in fairness, I boosted it myself. So,
yeah,
you know, like,
well, so
well, see, this is my point. So like we're looking at all these high profile people that are doing it and we're going like, but like we all did it. So it's very much human nature that you see something that confirms your biases.
Yeah.
You watch a few minutes of it. It seems pretty damning. You don't really think deeply about, like, all right, what's this guy's clearance? How many years has he been in tenure? Like, what would he actually be privy to? How plausible are these claims? Like, it took me, you know, an hour of, like, really thinking about it and then going back and rewatching it and being like, oh yeah, this probably isn't, this is just a low level dude who's trying to get blown, which we've seen other cases of Veritas where it's like, that's exactly what it is. He'll get some, you know, underling at Google or whatever and make these outlandish claims. And you're like, that doesn't even sound plausible. But then like, because these people say it while they're on a date, it's like, all right, yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, too. I can understand what Ken's getting at too, because I feel like when you know, especially when you get in tune with social media, you can tell when something feels artificial in how much it's blown up. But I mean, knowing now that this has the backdrop of, like, I think, you know, if I'm gonna take, I think maybe it was Clint that said it, was James O'Keefe's new thing that he's doing, which would make sense. I'm sure he probably is in all of his people's contacts, you know, the people he's, you know, got that level of rapport with, is dropping this link in their DMs and like, hey, check this out, blah, blah, blah. So he's probably getting the right eyes on it. They're boosting it because they did exactly what we did. So it is, like, hard to tell, to parse between, is this artificial? Is this legit? Is he just, you know, kind of the right big names looking at this and doing exactly what we do? And I didn't, like, immediately think it was right, but I'm like, he is obviously saying all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, they do this, they do that. Yeah, they do this, they do that. No shit. It is like a thing that confirms everything we think, but now, like, you know, so I like it, I retweet it or whatever. And people, you know, a lot of low information people take that and go, yep, this is all legit. So I would hazard people to, like, not completely buy into this, but do understand that the things you're saying does have credence. So it's like, it's just more of like he's saying everything that we wanted to hear, essentially.
I think this is an important point too, is that, like, sloppy, not just social media use, which I was guilty of by, you know, quote tweeting this morning, but more importantly, sloppy journalism or sloppy sting operations like this, where you essentially entrap some fucking idiot underling that's just, like, really, really horny. And you get him to say a bunch of wild shit that confirm that, like, you know, will get attention. Like, this is the type of video that is going to get a ton of attention. Yeah. So you put it out regardless of whether or not you think he actually knows what the fuck he's talking about. And, you know, my criticism is more towards the people that are responsible for this op, because it's like, you should only be doing this to people that would be for sure in the know, so that when they get drunk and they make all these outlandish claims, that you can go like, yeah, see, he, like, this dude actually, he would know this stuff. So I think that's, like, and what it does as a consequence is it poisons the well against really hard hitting, you know, deep journalism, that will now probably be looked at, you know, sideways or side eyed because this is later proven to be bullshit. So that's my concern about it.
Yeah, it's the boy who cried wolf. But I mean, Clint, it's our job to cover the news, so it makes sense that we'd tweet about this guy. But I mean, Musk, he's got 100 million followers. He's supposed to be building rockets, and he knows that, like, if he comments on something, everybody's going to see it. So Again,
my retort to that would be his comment on Top Lobster's posts.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't think he takes it as seriously as he probably ought to, but like, it's evident that he doesn't. You know, like he's tanked his stock price by talking about doing drugs on Rogan. This guy lives a very reckless lifestyle. I like it personally.
Yeah, and he could be an op. I'm completely open to that. Anyone who that level of power, I am instinctively suspicious of. But I mean, I have never really seen anything to really like. So yeah, I get the vibe. You're like, why is this guy competent? But it's also like, he's also a retard who's done really dumb shit and commented some really dumb stuff here and there, which all of us do. So in a certain sense, we can kind of relate to that. And he is, let's be real. I mean, even if he is an op of some sort, which I don't really have a strong opinion either way, he is clearly an autist either way. So like, 100%. That's why he posted on Top's clearly joking anti-Semitic tweet and completely seemed to miss a joke and goes, wow, Mel Gibson's looking buff these days. Like, that's why he does shit like that. So, like, I don't know. I guess, I understand both sides of it. So, I mean, just the fact he commented or, you know, tweeted or whatever he did about it is, like you said, will boost it. And that does give, you know, make some things float to the top like crazy and give it legs that maybe they shouldn't really have the legs, but... I don't know. This is just the social media marketplace that we live in. So.
I mean, he got a judgment against him from the SEC because he was like either manipulating Doge price by like saying 420.69 or some shit like that. Like, the guy's just a lunatic.
True, and he's getting sued right now by a kid, some college kid, who there was like a conspiracy theory that this little Jewish kid from California was part of the Patriot Front. And Elon Musk like was writing like, wow, this is crazy. And so now the Jewish kid is suing him because it was, yeah. So your point's taken, but I guess when I see these things, like the Project Veritas, that was good undercover journalism, especially the piece where they got the ABC reporter on a hot mic talking about the royal family killing the Epstein story. But make no mistake, like Project Veritas was an op. Like James O'Keefe was connected to like some Israeli operatives, like Eric Prince, the Blackwater founder. He had like former FBI employees working for him. Like these people are very well connected. So I just, whenever I see stuff like this, my mind automatically goes is an op.
That's why I would go the angle of like, maybe this is an op, but I don't think you need to have Musk in on it. I think that like the op is, we're going to put together some bullshit hacky journalism, you know, undercover thing. It's going to go viral and it's going to basically poison the well against all of the viable claims against the FBI, the CIA, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, that's all you have to do. And it's almost too easy. Weird. It's weird hearing you say that O'Keefe is connected, because like, I've had him on the show with that I do with Luke, and I've had other, you know, figures that have come in the studio that I'm like, I'm not gonna, you know, mince words. I think I've had some, you know, connected people.
Yeah.
That I've
sat I think you have too, Clint. Yep. Yeah. I think I've told Jose about that, but I won't mention it on the live show.
And for the record, O'Keefe wasn't even one of them that I was suspecting. Like, so there could be way more than I'm thinking of. It's wild. It's wild. But there's like certain people that raise in profile so rapidly, and you're like, I don't know. And you're like, how do you know all this shit? You know, where is this all coming from? Cause you got really great information, but like, I'm not seeing you source it per se. You're just reading shit and you're dissecting it in this way. It's like, okay. I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm in the mess here, and I don't really understand what I'm dealing with.
You're in Fed world.
Yeah. Yep.
I need to start connecting you to my guys like Ken anytime you have some sort of glowing guest and feed you some questions to ask.
Right.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that about O'Keefe either, but I'm not surprised. But with someone like an O'Keefe, you know, if they get their guy in there and that he does have some connects or compromise or whatever, you know, he's been on so many big programs. He's James O'Keefe. And so he probably legitimately does have people that are, you know, immediately are like, oh, you know, just, you know, retweet this just because they're like, oh, that's James O'Keefe. And they know him, even like big names, you know. So for all I know, he's probably hung out with Elon before and it's probably in his inbox like, yo, check this out, you know.
Yeah, well, and so, see, the thing is, too, it's like, well, for the record, this is a spinoff organization. This is not O'Keefe. O'Keefe is OMG.
Oh, okay.
This is some spinoff of some underlings that were over at Project Veritas. But
gotcha.
I the other thing that makes it exceedingly challenging to assess someone's opness is a good journalist is going to have a lot of connections with intelligence assets and things like that anyways. So it's like, I don't know how you parse that out and like establish, oh, this guy's actually doing good work for the right reasons. He's an honest journalist. And, oh, or this guy is a connected, you know, Project
Israeli seed money. That's how.
Op. I don't know. Yeah, seed really money. I think connecting
I'm just
the
being
dots.
Silly, but
no, I think you're right. I think connecting the dots on seed money would be really interesting, especially if you can prove that it comes through some sort of, you know, State Department cutout or NGO or whatever the fuck. And you're like, oh, all right, yeah. Well, then, yeah, that's probably exactly what this is. But it's just really hard to know, man. And you know what's really crazy is like, especially if the NQTEL relationship to the founding of Google and all that's legit, and Facebook and all these other organizations being essentially fed ops anyways.
LifeLog, like, you know, DARPA project.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even necessarily have to fund an op. You could just be like, hey, you're going to do this. You're going to get super rich. We're going to instruct the YouTubes and the Facebooks and the Instagrams of the world to boost the fuck out of your content. We're going to algorithmically turn you into an overnight sensation, and there will be no money trail to connect the dots. Like they could do shit. Like I don't think that they're capable of this because they're fucking, you know, they're the government, they're bureaucrats, and they're idiots. But at the same time, like if people of our intelligence and capacity were involved, like you could absolutely do that. So I don't know. It's just I'm just thinking through all of this on the fly.
Yeah, with the LifeLog project, I believe when they ended is when Facebook started. And, you know, their reasoning for ending is because they said they kept getting bad PR. And it was that, you know, it was because everyone thought about the implications of if government was doing this type of stuff. And then Facebook did basically kind of the same thing, but in a social media type apparatus. And they stopped. But I believe, you know, there are, I've heard rumors of connections with money. But it's like, you know, that a lot of people make that then jump from that to, oh, they just literally went from the end to the other. It's complete op, but they could have just given it seed money and just been like, they could have let the one project die and they're like, oh, whatever, we'll let this do it. And we're going to kind of, you know, have our back ends, whatever we need anyways, or our ways to tug on the strings, you know, since we have them financially to some extent. And they don't even necessarily have to completely one for one swap it out or even necessarily have some overt control over it, you know?
Yeah, I think they don't care who wins as long as they have back doors. Like if they have a back door, they'll probably let you thrive and think you're a real boy that doesn't have any strings attached to your puppet. But like, if you get out of line, if you think you're a real boy, they will slam you down to earth. And I think that's what they did with Trump. I think that's what they did with, I mean, maybe even Alex Jones. Like, there's a lot of examples of people that started to think like, oh, I'm not, you know, under their control. It's like, well, watch us tell you exactly how under our control you are. I mean, even when Apple tried to reject the, you know, de-encryption demands from the judge, it's like, and then you have Congress drag all of the tech moguls up on Capitol Hill and browbeat the shit out of them. And you're like, okay, I think I understand how this game works. Like, I don't think that they necessarily have to give them marching orders day to day. They just go like, you're going to do ABC or you don't exist anymore. Like that's really where the, you know, the threats come in.
Yeah. And I would just add that also just because something's an op doesn't mean that the information's not legit and important. And we recently saw FBI op when it comes to January 6th. The transparency organization Judicial Watch has been suing the FBI for Jan 6 records on their pipe bomb investigation. And the FBI gave some records that disclosed that CIA agents were first responders to the pipe bombs. And it's not like the FBI just, oh, okay, you sued us under the Freedom of Information Act. We're going to give you this information because we're complying with the law. Yeah. That's what they call in the intelligence world. Roger Charles, Richard Booth's mentor, called it a black Valentine, where when they put these little dark secrets in records and give them out, and oh, I didn't mean to do that. But yeah, make no mistake, the FBI definitely intentionally disclosed the presence of CIA bomb technicians to put more heat on the CIA and kind of try to, I think, shirk away the blame for all the intelligence failures of January 6th, which, to bring it back to this video, I guess another plausible thing to think this video is legit is, like, is this the CIA's response to the FBI's psyop about the pipe bomb? Is the CIA trying to put the heat back on the FBI by this weird, bizarre, gay psyop talking about FBI entrapment? Who knows? Maybe this is the CIA's answer to the recent pipe bomb record disclosures.
I mean, that's exactly what makes this all so complicated. It's like, I totally agree with your assessment. And I think that when you see a FOIA that comes in with some sort of fucking sledgehammer information, and you're like, oh, well, maybe this is the executive cracking down on the deep state or the intelligence apparatus or the judicial system or whatever. And it's like, this is like high level power play brokering type of shit. And it makes it almost impossible for, you know, just an armchair journo, whatever the fuck I am, to analyze and figure out what's actually going on here or what's true and what's not. It's so difficult. It's really frustrating. I'm just venting.
If you want to know about FOIAs and how that process works for the audience, I know both of you guys are at least, you know, somewhat aware. I mean, I know Ken, you really are. Ask Jesse Trinidou about that. I mean, he just refiled again. He just filed for suit for a FOIA request he made 8 years ago. And this isn't his only case dealing with FOIA. He has, like, he probably has multiple right now. He has another one. He's under a gag order that started as a FOIA, then ended up to a, you know, they were tampering with a witness because he got a PatCon guy, essentially, and he was opening up. And then they threatened him. And now he's on a gag order because now they have to deal with that order of, like, whether the feds threatened his witness or whatever, I guess, that came with information to show that these guys are not giving up FOIA information that they have. So he's been dealing with this shit for decades because the Oklahoma City bombing happened in 95. And it didn't take Jesse that long to be hip with, oh, I think there's a connection between my desk, my brother's obvious murder that was, you know, tried to be pegged as a suicide. So I'm going to, you know, fight for justice. And this guy got $1 million from the federal government doing it. And this is still the result. This is, like, literally the best case scenario for someone who wants to pry information from the U.S. government. And this is the result of it, to get sensitive information that they're supposed to give. This is the whole purpose of FOIA. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Ken. I know you've done plenty of work. Maybe you want to sum it up a little better than I did, but I don't know.
Well, everything you said is exactly right. And this is kind of unrelated, but while you were talking, I remember that the FBI also recently released records on Stephen Paddock, the Las Vegas mass shooter. And they conveniently put a record in about how Paddock was a fan of Timothy McVeigh and Adolf Hitler and Terry Nichols. And it's like, obviously they seeded that within the records just so the media will pick it up and make Las Vegas seem like a right-wing terrorism case. Like, that. These are, weaponized FOIA, I guess you might call it. They do psyops through record releases.
But if there was a FOIA that actually discloses the entirety of an op that was, like, ran against the American people in a really egregious fashion, I don't think you're ever fucking getting it. So, like, anytime you see a FOIA that's released, you have to be skeptical, which is not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be getting the truth for the first time ever, but now you can't know. And as you were saying earlier, sometimes maybe they'll put some truth in there because they're trying to slam down on the FBI or the CIA or whatever the fuck. But it's like, at the same time, you're dealing with bureaucracy, and whatever they're disclosing could just be that they're fucking totally inept and they're actually releasing the real shit on accident.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens too, so I never have any clue what's happening.
I mean, it's an unbelievable level of ineptitude, especially if you get into the minutia of Trinidou's case. You really do see, like, okay, yeah, I mean, obviously I lean towards it's intentional, but they do, whether intentional or not, they pass it off as, you know, with these fuck-ups as, oh, oopsies, oh, we just had Kathy down in the secretary down in filing. She must have made a big ol' oopsies. And it was, like, just that over and over and over again to, like, an unbelievable degree. But, yeah, you're right. If they don't want you to get it, they're not going to. I recently went a little bit of a deep dive on Watergate, and it's my understanding that I don't think any FOIA shit ever came out of Watergate. they won't release any FOIA stuff because there is some CIA files, I believe, there. There's definitely a lot of intrigue on what really was there at Watergate. But this is any mass impact event, you know, anything, you know, big like that, or, you know, Oklahoma City. Yeah, you're not getting any pertinent real information. You're going to be scrounging things on the periphery to maybe be able to color a better picture in
basically,
a few decades.
They're going to let you chase your tail for all eternity.
Yeah.
Let me do a quick plug because I got to. We had Roger Stone on the Best Political Show. You guys can subscribe to audio podcatchers, things like that. It's We Are Change over on Rumble. The second hour, you could fucking totally forget about the first hour. It's on YouTube. We have to be very safe over there. The second hour is absolutely must listen. Roger Stone's 50 years in politics from his time with Nixon all the way up till modern times, having the FBI raid him because of his relationship to Trump and everything else. I mean, he is dishing as aggressively as a human being can dish, dude. It was fucking crazy. He's like describing LBJ. Like, he's 100% convinced that LBJ was responsible for assassinating JFK.
Probably both.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I take that case, but if he's taking that, he probably would think both. But sorry, dude.
Well, then he goes on and he starts detail. Like, there's so many details, I can't even remember all of it, but he starts talking about Hinckley and the attempted assassination against, was that Reagan, I think? And he's like, he was over in Laos at some sort of, I don't know, NGO or some sort of training thing that there was another assassin that was responsible for taking out Lenin. And you're like, oh, this is,
yep.
Like, well, what? So anyways, I just wanted to plug that because it was mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, you know, trying to schedule the guy who just wrote a book on John Lennon's assassination, and there's a lot of weird stuff there. It is, when you start looking back in the past, there is a lot of spooky stuff. But, all right, let's keep it moving, unless either you got something else to say. Let's keep it moving. We're about a minute out.
Knows and works with FBI agents who were undercover in the January 6th Capitol riot, estimating about 20 field agents were there undercover. While O'Blenis notes that they were not involved in violence, this appears to be the first admission of undercover FBI agents in attendance.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C. Just in case it gets out of hand like that.
But there wasn't
enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking they maybe have 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through there and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So that,
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Did people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, it was the agency now.
All right, that's all of it. That's the end of it. I don't know if we'll get other parts soon. I doubt we'll do another coverage like this because I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We'll see what's in the next drop. But I guess any final thoughts on some of the stuff, the revelations there we have from this extremely reliable source?
Well, Clay Higgins, who's a congressman, has said there were up to 200 undercover FBI agents, and he's claimed to have actually seen the evidence of these unmarked, quote, ghost buses that arrived at, I think, Union Station, it's called, at the Capitol around 5 a.m. All these feds get off the buses, and then they kind of just disperse into the city. Later, they were seen on the surveillance footage. That hasn't been released, but there is noise from somewhat credible sources that this did actually happen, that this wasn't just like informants who were given instructions to rabble rouse, that there actually were undercover FBI agents in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he says there is obviously true. Yeah. Any large gathering in D.C., you're going to have feds there. Well, like in some ways, like there would be no point to having an FBI if there weren't undercovers that were at large multi-thousand people gatherings in DC, which, by the way, there shouldn't be an FBI, and I'm totally fine with there not being one. But if you're going to have one, that seems like something they probably ought to be doing. So I think what he says there is certainly true, and any normal person should be able to suss that part out. I think that the scale of it, we may never know. I think, you know, whether or not they actually wanted to see it get as out of control as it was, I'm not certain, but I will say my assessment of the pipe bomb really makes me feel as if that this was their plan B, was to have a riot happen, because I think that the bomb was actually plan A, or vice versa. I don't know which, but those two stories combined, I think, are enough for me to conclude that there was an operand that day, and you can conclude for yourself what the purpose of it was. But I think it, a lot of it had to do with trying to turn Trump into, they had already essentially ripped away his second term, and they wanted to make sure that he would be, it would be impossible for him to run in 24, and somehow it has not been impossible, and he is the front runner in the polls. which makes me very concerned, and I asked Roger Stone about that tonight. That they will take the JFK route if it comes down to it. So we'll see.
Any thoughts, Ken? Any final thoughts on this?
No, not nothing more.
Yeah. On the did I go out? Oh, I think you went. All right. On the JFK thing, I don't know. I mean, I'm torn that they would ever do that. I feel like at that point, that would be such an overstep. But maybe. It wouldn't surprise me. It's happened before. I'm not surprised if it happened again. Although, I don't know. When it comes down to the things that really matter, is Trump really that bad? So I don't know if they would really try to. I know he's made some tepid comments on Israel that, you know, some of our people could get all schizo and, you know, think, oh, well, you know, maybe he is a threat to the establishment. I don't know, you know, or enough of a threat. So I have no idea, you know, either way, if that would be a method that they would go. But yeah, well, it's definitely, it's
let me just,
been
let me
done
just
before.
Add one note, you know, Roger Stone is convinced that the assassination attempt against Reagan was, you know, a JFK type 2 thing. And he said that there was a disc that was found in his body, that it was actually the gun that was fired. There was 4 rounds fired by Hinckley, none of which struck Reagan. And the only wound that he had, he didn't even think that he had been shot. He thought that he had been injured by being pushed to the ground by his Secret Service, because there was actually the wound that was inside him was a disc, like a discus. And with the X-ray, they were not able to find any bullet inside of him. And if it weren't for a intrepid surgeon who said, well, there's a wound here, there's no exit wound, but we're going to operate, we're going to go in and see if there's anything there, they probably would have never found it. They would have just sewn him up and he would have had that disc sitting in him forever. But apparently it was not able to be seen because it was made out of plastic as opposed to metal. Fascinating story. Like I said, people should definitely watch that second hour with Roger Stone tonight. And Roger is actually writing a book on that assassination attempt, which is not out yet, but it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that is interesting. I've heard a few different theories on why people think they went after Reagan. I want to say they do kind of tie into the Watergate stuff or another Iran Contra. I forget. But either way, these big elites do sometimes do war with each other. And
George Bush was involved in the JFK assassination, and he was Reagan's vice president. So he would have become president. So I think that's definitely plausible. And I don't know, did Roger Stone mention how Hinckley's his parents were having dinner with the Bushes on the day that Hinckley shot Reagan?
He did not mention that. Wow.
I'll send Jose a link to forward to you. So that's just another mind-blowing coincidence, if you want to call it that.
Weird coincidence.
They
abound. They abound. I would suggest people out there go look into David Ferry. He, the one I mentioned earlier, if you dig into him, he is one of those ones where so many of them, these characters in these conspiracies coalesce with him. And it is bizarre. But yes, there's many such cases once you start digging down these rabbit holes. But I think that's going to do it for tonight, guys. Ken, where can people find you at?
HeadlineUSA.com, the Libertarian Institute, at JD_cashless on X.
Clint.
Yeah, Buddy Clint Boy. Russell at Liberty Lock Pod on X. If you want to support my work, subscribe there or libertylockdown.locals.com. Liberty Lockdown is the show. You can find it on YouTube and Rumble. And definitely subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. I appreciate it. We also do Tower Gang on Wednesdays, which is why I said a no-no word earlier, because anytime I see Jose, it makes it impossible for me to be in a professional mode. And if you want to hear more profanity from me, Tower Gang's the spot.
Yeah, I was definitely having to hold back a little bit because we do have a journalist here who has a reputation to uphold. I can't go too potty mouth. This is hilarious content to work with, though, and we could have easily.
But I called him a dumpy H. I was like, oh, man, that's not too. Oops.
Hey, whatever. You've already got enough flack from the lefty parapolitics just for simply reporting on, you know, Langan being a... being a transvestite and being associated with the Oklahoma City bombing.
So, I work for a site called Headline USA. I'm not really worried about, I don't know, appealing to people who have problems with lowbrow stuff.
Well, all right, guys, appreciate your time. I do want to let the audience know that today's episode was brought to you by Mado Shave Co. I don't know why I said Mado. Nado. Fucked up. Sorry, guys. Big Shave has been psyoping the American people for decades with their multi-blade razor scam. Just shaved this weekend. If you guys saw on the video just a minute ago, I had a nice, clean, smooth face. It was baby smooth just the other day when I shaved it. You don't need that fancy plastic replacement cartridges, none of that nonsense. Just single stainless steel blades just like your granddad used to use. It's good stuff. I highly recommend it. Use Jose at checkout. Get 10% off your entire order at nadoshaveco.com. And with that, guys, we are out. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. We are out.